I think I am going to share, but briefly. And it's going to look a little different, so I'm kind of throwing my notes aside just so you know, because I think that's what the Lord wants me to do.
4 years.
Yeah. Let's not get our hopes too high. Especially considering that even when I came here, I felt like I was still getting downloads. And I'm a little embarrassed to actually share that I have gotten downloads up to an extent of 9 pages of notes. A little embarrassed. But not really, because it just means that this is an atmosphere that God is trying to talk. I walked in and he's just communicating. And then everything that I walked in and experienced, there's just more that kept coming. So I'm sitting over there writing. I'm sitting over here trying to write and type. I'm like, Lord, what are you? And all of it is not to be shared today at all. It's just that the Lord just was communicating. And he was communicating with all of us. There has been waves, if you will, in the spirit that we've been all experiencing. I don't have to try to convince anybody of that. I think everybody knows this. There has been our enemy waging war against us in many different ways, and we are aware of this. But also at the same time, there has been abundant blessing being poured out at the same time. And only a fool would miss that, you know, that these things are kind of coexisting and colliding in a very extravagant way. And it's all the Lord. It's all the Lord. It's kind of odd. This is the first time I've actually been up on the pulpit in a while. I don't even remember the last time I was actually up here, because the last couple of times I was supposed to teach, we had, you know, very significant things that happened. You know, you guys obviously know my father had passed. My wife was in a car accident that weekend that she was in the car accident. That was my weekend to teach. And Miss Lisa jumped in and carried an abundant amount of weight. And the Lord has been doing extravagant things and just bringing in tons and tons of beautiful revelation has been very encouraging. You know, even subtle things. We had a project that I had jumped on with David Summers in Pennsylvania to bless some of the widows and the single moms in our house. The project went amazing. You know, I have to honor Alan for a little bit, as well as Tiffany and Tasha for jumping in to help out with some of the administration. The project was amazing. One of the things that was the glorious revelation, not just the fact that that was a significant blessing to a number of people in our house. What was the big blessing for me was the fact that I was in such a whirlwind that I basically dropped the project. I just dropped it. I was like, Lord, there's just too much going on. I dropped it on Alan. I dropped it on Tiff and Tosh. And I was in such a whirlwind, the team came and left before I even realized that they were even here. But yet, I heard all these amazing testimonies of what happened when they were here serving our family. And it put me in this position to be very, very grateful, obviously, to the people that I work with. Thank you. I love you guys a ton, and I'm incredibly blessed to have you in this church family. But it also reminded me of God's determination to do what he wanted to do. He's the one who determined in his heart to be a blessing. You know what I mean? And one of the things I want to encourage all of us with is be the blessing, be obedient, do what God has called you to do. And give room for God to bless you and to work on your behalf, whether your hands are involved or not. Because the Lord is going to do what he's going to do. You know, because if the Lord is moving on my heart to be a blessing, obviously he's moving on the other hearts of others to do the same. You know? When Al was up here earlier, he had made a statement that the Lord highlighted for us to evaluate our lives in this season. Some of us may need to consider repenting of various things in this season and do some necessary spiritual chiropractic work, if you will. Some of us is just to evaluate really the goodness of the Lord. If we're in a position where we struggle and question the goodness of the Lord. And there are circumstances that are around you that if you kind of paused and looked, you'd be able to see the hand of the Lord working in and around and working all things together for your good as you continue in your love for Him. Now, please take note, that is not a message for everybody. If you have not loved the Lord, for those who are watching online, because I'm in a room full of people that love Jesus, but for those who are online and you're hearing my voice and you assume that that blessing is for you and you do not love the Lord, it's not for you. Just got to make sure I kick that disclaimer out there, because people just assume, oh, that's what it says, so I'm getting it. Whether you obey the Lord or not, that's not how this works. I'm sorry. But the Lord is working things for our good. Yes. And the thing is, even in the midst of Him working things for our good, I am going to give the invitation, if you will. I've been having this thought, reminding myself of the commands of the Lord. Now, mind you, when the Lord gives a command, obviously, it is in your best interest to follow a command of the Lord. It's just in your best interest. Okay? But even when we give these commands, they're actually invitations to actually see how good the Lord is. The Lord is incredibly good. He is good to His people. He expresses His goodness through His people. I remember reminding others about the significance of how God heals. And I say glorify Him for it all. Whether you were healed through the medicine of that was prescribed to you, the hands of a surgeon, hands laid on you. Either way, if somebody lay hands on you and you receive instantaneous healing, was it not the Lord working through people for somebody to have the faith to lay their hands on you in the first place? Who do you think gave the doctor the steady hand to perform his surgery, or the other doctor the mind to figure out the medicines to prescribe? Was it not all the Lord? And the thing is, some of us, for some odd reason, I can't say it's an odd reason if I was going to be honest, because we've been also greatly harmed by other people, so therefore sometimes we don't trust people. But I will say this, though humanity has consistently proven themselves untrustworthy, the Lord has remained faithful. So therefore, maybe our wise approach would be, Lord, I'm trusting You. Therefore, I will be obedient with whatever You command that I do. And I will trust that You will send laborers of the harvest to minister to me wherever I am. If you struggle with people, just remove them out of the equation for a little bit. But I'm literally meaning for a little bit, because you cannot just separate people in that way, ultimately. Does that make sense? Because the only way you can express your love to the Lord sincerely and honestly is by expressing that love to other people. We can't hug the Lord. We can't kiss the Lord. I can't put money in the Lord's pocket, but I can do it for somebody else. And the Lord says, hey, giving to the poor is like lending to me. And isn't it an awesome thought to even consider that the Lord could be indebted to you? And I promise you, if He happens to be indebted to you, He will make do with what He owes. And it will be a significant blessing to you, more than you could ever imagine or think. I had a brief message to deal with the foolishness of our own hearts. And I think I'm going to give just a couple points of it. And then I think we are definitely full in light of what the Lord has been communicating tonight. I think there's plenty for us to ponder. I have to acknowledge this. I love the fact that we make a plan and the Lord just says, hold up, we're going to do this time around. And I'm working with a team of people that just run so beautifully with that plan. Honestly, I think they run better with the plan better than I do. I'm a little boxy at times, but they tolerate me. It's wonderful to celebrate the gifts of others. Amen. I'm going to give you guys a quick point that I've been sharing with a number of people, and a little bit of a backstory on it. In our trip to IHOP KC, this would be a little lighthearted. I went down to visit, and it's funny, while there, some of the leaders that I love and trust kind of called me out, and they rebuked and corrected me on a number of things, which is awesome. And yes, senior leaders can definitely still get corrected. Al, can I get an amen there somewhere, please? Gotta help me out. But there's still much to learn. There's so much to learn. I remember early when I was there, they came up, the senior leaders were there, and they said, we see a teaching anointing that sits on you, and you're going to be a teacher. And it's before I really was teaching the Bible that much on a pulpit, though I was teaching the Bible in a classroom at the time. And so they were saying, hey, you're going to teach the Bible, you know, before people regularly, and God is maturing this teaching gift. So I'm like, oh man, I'm at IHOP KC. I got these guys telling me I was going to be this amazing teacher. This is awesome. You know, like we all feel when we hear prophetic words and stuff like that. And I had gotten it from multiple prophetic guys down there. And I teach my first class, and then I teach a second class, and the leaders show up to my second class, and they tell me after my second class that, okay, Ron, that was borderline heresy. That was Christianese. How did you pray through that scripture again? And I felt roasted, you know, and I'm like, this is the last time they're going to have me teaching at the International House of Prayer, I am sure. And what they did was they said, nope, we're pretty sure we heard what God said. And they tripled my class load. And then they gave me a bunch of tools and said, do this and then let's see what happens. You can get a word, you know. I really liked what Al said earlier as well when he was saying, hey, when you get a word, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be a little afraid to step out there in what God says? Are you going to allow some of the pitfalls or the errors that you make to cause you to step away? Or are you going to just launch right into it and say, God, I heard you. I'm all in. I was like, Lord, I heard you. I'm all in. I'm all in. And so while there, they got me in this journey of really rustling through Proverbs. You know, how many of you guys have, it might be, I'm odd. I'm sorry, you guys. I come up to people regularly, and I know that many of you guys have encountered this from me when we talk on the phone or when we run into each other. And the first thing I ask is, what's the Lord been saying? How you been doing in the scriptures? You know I get that a lot, and people tell me like, Ron, and everybody feels prompted or feels the pressure to say, I got to say something deep. And I'm like, no, you don't. Like, a simple truth is truth. Truth is truth. And the Lord hits us at different times with different things. And it can be a simple truth that you just went deeper with. And it's just glorious. I'm actually looking for an opportunity just to vibe with you, honestly. I just want to vibe with the Lord and vibe with you and what the Lord is saying to you. And see if he's saying to you the same thing he's saying to me. That's kind of what's happening. It's not that weird like, oh no, I haven't been in my Bible and the pastor asked me what I've been reading. That's not what's in my mind. It's not what's in my mind. I'm just trying to see if we can vibe a little bit. All right. In any event, they challenged me a little bit, and while I was wrestling through, or thinking through Proverbs, you know, when you come over and you ask people, hey, what you been reading the scripture is, and sometimes people say, I've been reading Psalms and Proverbs. That's like the common answer. I just read a little Psalm, Proverbs, or I read a proverb of the day, and then I read a chapter of the New Testament. You know, they got these staple answers. And sometimes in the back of my broken and carnal mind, I'm like, you may not be really in your Bible, but that's all right. I'll accept the answer. But after this conversation I had with these leaders, I had found a brand new appreciation for the book of Proverbs in a very deep way. And I've just been devouring the book. And so I'm going to throw just a couple tools that we will not be able to break into right now. And I am also not sure if what I'm going to present to you, the Lord is going to allow me or any of the other leaders to unpack further, because they just may, because the Lord does stuff like that. It may just be something to provoke you, as I was provoked, to actually look at the book of Proverbs in a different way because of the fact of the hour we are in. We need wisdom. And not only do we need wisdom, we need understanding. Wisdom, obviously, we know knowledge is information. Wisdom is the accurate use of the knowledge obtained. And understanding is making it a bit more personal. That's why we say things like, it is to my understanding that X, Y, Z, 1, 2, and 3, fill in the variable as you will. Okay. But they were highlighting in Proverbs, wise people, foolish people, and evil people. And I think it is very important for us to know how to identify the wise, the foolish, and the evil. When I was actually thinking about this, I was so stirred that I was telling my children that they had to read through Proverbs again and highlight the wise in green, the foolish in orange, and the evil in red, because we raise our children in very safe environments. I recognize the naivety of my children. I recognize the innocence of my kids. And some of us also recognize that our kids are in the same boat because we raised them in very safe environments. But the world is not safe, and they're getting older, and we're sending them out, right? Therefore, it was, to me, of the utmost importance that my children can identify people and know how to navigate them well. Proverbs outlines three groups of people: the wise, the foolish, and the evil. Okay. Therefore, since it's only those kinds of people, if you have two people together, you're only going to end up with six different types of relationships. You're going to have either the wise, two wise people together, two fools together, two evil people together. You're going to end up with a wise person and a fool, a wise person and an evil person, or an evil person and a fool. Those are your combinations. You guys got that? Those are your combinations. If you have two wise people together, you're going to have a very healthy, trusting, honorable, safe, and beautiful relationship. It's where we get that picture from Ecclesiastes 4, where it talks about two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if one falls, one is able to lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone, for when he falls, he has no one to lift him up again. And again, if two lie together, they keep warm. That's a very intimate picture right there. You know what I mean? I remember sleeping with my boys on a camping trip because they'd be cold. And he was like, yo, bro, no funny business, man. I just need to be warm. That's real. It's real, though. And that, for them, it was in the context of doing battle together. They're out there in the desert, and the desert is incredibly hot in the day and incredibly cold at night. They needed each other, and they recognized that. It was intimate, though. It says, how can one keep warm alone? And if a man resist one, he might prevail against him, but two can prevail against him. Or I'm reading this incorrectly, sorry. Two will withstand him, the one that resists. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Again, that healthy relationship is in that boat of a friend that loves at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 17:17. Or iron sharpens iron, and so one man sharpens another. That's what happens when you have two wise people together. If you have two evil people together, you end up with a very dangerous relationship. When you get two evil people together, that's like Sanballat and Tobiah. who resisted Nehemiah, as Al talked about that earlier today as well. Nehemiah and the wall. You end up with a Jannes and Jambres. That's who they attribute those names to, the two two wizard type characters that Pharaoh leaned into for counsel against Moses, and they were duplicating all of God's, or some of God's miraculous works to prove a point. You have like an Ahab and a Jezebel, dangerous relationships where they worked against Elijah the prophet, or even a Haman and a Zeresh as they plotted against Mordecai. And again, with evil people, there is a partnership with darkness. They have wholeheartedly, wholesale, just embraced the identity of the foolishness of their ways, and they're just dangerous. Okay? If you have an evil person and a fool together, you're going to end up with a very abusive relationship, because the evil person is going to abuse the fool and take advantage of that and run as much mileage as they can. Okay? If you have a wise person and a fool together, you're going to end up with what looks like a very parental relationship, because the Bible says that foolishness is bound within the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. And so many of us who've been parents navigate our children well, and we recognize the foolishness of their hearts. And so therefore, while dealing with them, you build systems, you encourage them, you work with them, you continue to watch them carefully to see if they're actually executing that which you've asked them to do, because it's part of your responsibility. The only place where it gets really weird is when you're dealing with another adult. You're like, shouldn't you know this by now? Shouldn't you know this by now? But if you have someone who is wise with a fool, that's the kind of combination you get. You also end up with a combination of two fools. And two fools will look like a very codependent relationship. It will be codependent. All right? It's like one person is addicted to the brokenness of the other person to find their identity. Therefore, both parties are now denying the identity that God has given them. Not only denying the identity God has given them, but they also deny their assignment, because they've now found an assignment serving somebody else in light of their brokenness, and they need the other person to continue in their brokenness so they can find their identity. It is just the weirdest thing. But that's what happens when you get two fools together. You get two fools together and that's it. If you have a wise person and an evil person together, you're going to end up with a very distant relationship, because the wise person is going to see the foolish or the evil of the evil person, and they're going to keep distance. They're going to recognize that that person needs some professional help. Professional help meaning counseling, therapy, handcuffs, straitjacket, something along those lines, because like that's what you need. Now, mind you, please take note, because I did start off with like counseling and therapy. Just because you need counseling and therapy, or you have used counseling and therapy in the past, it does not mean that you are evil. However, more often than not, we have discovered that that evil may be involved in some way, where somebody was evil to you, and now you got to navigate that. So evil's in there. I'm not saying that if you needed those things that you are evil, though. That's not the case. It's because the world is busted. Evil has been released. Does that make sense? But for the wise, if they notice an evil person, though, I'm not saying that if you've had these things, if you've had counseling and stuff like that, that you are evil. But if you are evil, you definitely need those things. Definitely. Okay? All of the above. Maybe I'm the one to put you in a straitjacket, but whatever. All right. So with that, in this last couple moments, now I gave you guys a lot. If you read through Proverbs, and even if you take that assignment that I gave you, I think it would be good, as Al had mentioned earlier today, And as our elders have continued to clearly paint the picture of what God is trying to communicate throughout the duration of this service, I think we should go through Proverbs again and evaluate our relationships and evaluate our own hearts. Because one of the things that we all must realize is that we've all played the fool. We've all played the fool. If you're young, fool, it's okay. We've all played the fool. The only time it's odd is that if we continue in our foolishness expecting a different result. That's not right. And we also have to recognize too, if you read through Proverbs carefully, you will note that the fool and the evil person are sometimes almost put in the same boat. I say almost, but it is a thing, because if you remain in your foolishness, there is a result that you will slide over. And if we also want to be honest, when we were young and bound in our foolishness, as the Bible says, we are also godless at that time too. And though we don't like to say that, oh, my kids is evil. Well, it is what it is. Without Jesus, we're evil. It is what it is. All right. I have a random praise report. For those of you guys who did not know, my son accepted the Lord on the same day that my father passed. Yeah, it's wonderful. The day my father passed was the day my son accepted the Lord, which is glorious. You know, the Lord gave me a little gift in there. And the only reason why I kicked it out there is to say that I don't assume the salvation of my children. I don't assume the salvation of any child unless they have clearly professed Jesus. I think that would be well for us as parents as well. Don't do that. You can raise your children in a Christian household and they can pray and bless the table and pray for families, da, 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 da. But just because they're doing that, please wait until they understand and say, you know what? I've been doing this, but I need to know Jesus myself. And do that. Don't be afraid or thinking, oh, wait, why would I lead them to the Lord? They already knew the Lord. No, you knew the Lord and you had them in a godly household. Let them respond to the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Neither here nor there. I just want to throw a couple things in dealing with the fool and within, if you will, because I think we need to consider just that. And so if we want to deal with the fool within, just a couple points. One, don't blame shift. 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may become wise. Okay? So don't blame shift. Evaluate, repent as it was brought to your attention. Sometimes we psychoanalyze things and we understand the motivations of everybody else and how it's their fault why we are going through the things that we do, and therefore we continue in our foolish behavior. Stop. Stop. Repent for what you can repent for. Keep a clear conscience before the Father. Another don't waste a circumstance. One of my favorite verses to quote is James chapter 1, where it says, count it all joy when you're faced with evil and diverse trials and tribulations, for the trying of your faith worketh patience, and to allow patience to have its perfect work within you, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Count it all joy. But how many of us squander the challenging situations in front of us? We've been talking about these waves, right? Waves of blessing and waves of trial. And the Lord is allowing these waves to just keep coming. Wave of blessing, waves of trial. And the thing is, a fool will complain and squander the trial. And as a believer, you are not to squander the trial. It is an opportunity for you to see the glory of the Lord displayed in you and around you. When you go through all kinds of hell and issues and high waters and storms and all this stuff is going on, and you're like, blessed be the name of the Lord, that brings great glory to the Lord. But those words will not be in the mouth of a fool. They will complain. And they will get everybody to complain with them or to listen to them and to commiserate with them and da da da. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that we can't talk about a challenge, but what does your heart gravitate towards? And you have to evaluate that carefully. So those are my two don'ts. My two do's is one, salvation. Proverbs 9 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You want to end foolish behavior? Observe the Lord. Accept the Lord. Embrace the Lord. Simple. Sometimes wisdom is simple, but still hard to execute. My final point, practice your identity. Why do I say practice your identity? Because there's a lot of people we can observe in scriptures that did great things. But can I just say, at least from my personal life, it is rare for people to do great things just out of the blue. But they were practicing great things with small yeses continually. Like when Paul and Silas were singing in prison and they were getting beaten and thought it was wonderful and it was worth that they were found worthy to suffer for Christ. That thought was running through their minds, I'm certain, many other times with other persecutions and resistance before it culminated to that moment. It was rehearsed. When Daniel made that statement in Daniel 1:8 that he would not defile himself with what was going on in Babylon, when he made that statement, I promise you, he had made decisions multiple times, cleaving to an identity that he would not defile himself. That wasn't just all out of the blue, like, I'm not going to do this today. Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I promise you, he was forgiving people all the time before that moment, many of which were his own disciples. His own mother, his family. Remember that statement? Who are my mother? Who are my brothers? But those who do the will of my Father. At that moment, his family wasn't doing God's will, because at that moment they were thinking that Jesus was a bit of a loon. And they're trying to call Jesus down a little bit. He had to forgive his mom, forgive his brothers, because they rejected him. They didn't believe that he was the Son of the Lord or Son of God. They didn't come around until after he resurrected. Right? And if you guys say, well, that was Jesus, what about Stephen then? Stoned. Saying the same statement, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Don't hold this sin against them. I promise you, these people practiced an identity, practiced certain disciplines, practiced certain things so that when the heat was at the hottest, they bled life. When they were wounded in the greatest way, they bled life. David saying, you know, who dares to defy the armies of the living God? Who is this uncircumcised feeling? Philistine. I'm like, man, David had come to revelations of who God was and just rehearsed it, embraced it, relished in it, lived in it. It changed the trajectory of his life. Job, when he made that statement, blessed be the name of the Lord, after he had lost everything. The man had practiced this. So, my question to all of us is, what are we going to practice and what identity are we going to rehearse? That when the trials come, kindness comes from you. When the trials come, goodness comes from you. Love comes from you. Faith comes from you. All of the fruit of the Spirit, being anchored in Jesus, is what comes from you in the midst of your trials. And the greater the trial only exposes, the more clear they can see God with you. And also, the greater the trial, I promise you, that's what causes you to see God more clearly as well. Everybody bow your heads. I think the Lord is awesome. Lord, we just take a moment to tell you how awesome you are. Lord, we want to stay in a place of gratitude because you have been so good to us. God, you are so good. None of us were deserving, my Lord. We did not deserve salvation. We did not deserve the good gifts that you give. We don't even deserve the breath that we breathe, and yet you keep giving. Lord, help us to deal with the foolishness of our own hearts. Help us to embrace your ways in your kingdom. Help us to give room for you to tenderly wash us with your word. Lord, we desire to just stay in the Spirit continually. My God, aid us, O Lord, in not resisting you as you take us from glory to glory. But Lord, help us to see your hand. Father, you said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Lord, help us to recognize our underdependence on you, that we may see you in all things. The pure in heart will see you, O Lord. The pure in heart will see you. Find us worthy, Jesus, in your holy and mighty name. And all God's people said,